suffering but life, oneness, oneness.
Please come to order. This meeting will be
breaking 1-9. Is this thing on? What's your 20?
All right.
Yeah, I told my name here, so.
Hello, hello. All right, this meeting will please come to order. May I have quiet, please? Thank you. So, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And I'd like to turn the chair over to the vice chair, Henry Cooper, to do our business until through the Committees of Inclusion report. So, Henry.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Henry.
We're going to start with a little change. We're going to switch to Spanish to make it easier for me.
All right.
I would like to do that. No, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes.
Bueno. Okay, we're going to start with the committee reports, part two. We're going to start with the coordinating committee report by Marty Durden, our chair. Yes?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
May I be recognized?
Recognized.
Thank you. I would like today that when we present arguments for and against the proposal, number one, I hope that we stay on time. We are mindful of the times, but when we have arguments that we accept two pros and two cons, and we give priority to the people who haven't spoken first, and if we do that, I'd be happy.
Are you presenting this as a motion to be voted?
Do I need to?
No.
Okay.
Well, okay, yes. Dave.
I would like, by common consent, if possible, to agree that all these times are going to be adjusted by the amount we started late, so that if anyone calls the orders of the day, they are altered to 10 or 15 minutes of what these are.
Actually, no problem with that. We can be flexible. Yeah.
Two-thirds
to change it. Then we pass to vote. If we want to make that adjustment,
do you want me to make the motion?
Any objection?
Okay.
There's no objection? No objection. Then we go to adjust it. Okay.
All right. Well, the coordinating committee consists of E.D. Dan Coughlin, CFO Lonnie Hicks, the chair, vice chair Henry Cooper, and the secretary Roger Manning, along with David Adelson, Carol Spooner, Ambrose Lane, Teresa Allen, and Ray LaForest. And we've met three times since our March board meeting in Berkeley. An attorney was present during the first meeting, March 29th, to assist us in working out the requirements for open meetings and so forth. We met to handle document requests on May 4th and May 18th, following the procedure, the interim procedure put forth by David Adelson. And to date, there have been less than half a dozen document requests that we have processed through that committee. And that's the report.
That's it?
Yep.
Any questions?
No. I'll give it to you.
Are there any questions? You have a question? Okay.
Marty, have any of the requests actually been fulfilled yet, or do you know what the progress is?
Maybe Dave could address that.
There was a request that I made that Dan gave us the information by voice. We asked for it in writing, and he agreed to do that. We brought it up. He's not been able to do that yet, but I'm understanding from him that that's going to happen shortly. That was a request to find out any expenditures over $10,000, any contracts or anything like that that have been signed for more than $10,000. Your request to about what was done with any information, what's being done with the money raised from the events, including Amy Goodman events and things like that. That was assigned, and we got some voice confirmation of it, but we need to get that in writing.
Okay, any other questions? Yes.
Madam Chair, is the data that's responded by the executive director, is that available to the rest of the body at some website? Or
It is not. Would that be the pleasure of the board to put it up on a website and have it be available to everybody?
Mark?
Well, Madam Chair, aren't the minutes published from the coordinating committee meeting?
They are.
So wouldn't the document request be a function of those minutes?
The requests are the documents themselves.
Are not.
It's what we're talking about. So I think we could get that done.
Thank you.
That's what I hand over there. Carol?
I'm not certain that putting these kinds of documents on the web page is appropriate.
A closed site.
Dan, I know, likes when he distributes information to make sure all the board members get it. So perhaps we need to develop a protocol for how Dan can ensure that all the directors get it. And if a website is how he wants to do it, that would be fine with me. Otherwise, mail or email would be good. Maybe I don't want to I don't know. A lot. If I'm comfortable with putting it up on the web,
well,
just that, I have a problem with it.
Would people be comfortable if I talk to Dan and Roger and Henry and we figure out a way to do that and let you all know?
Why don't we just decide it as a coordinating committee?
All right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Alice?
I heard what two of the requests were. Would it be okay to hear what the others were and whether they were fulfilled?
Well, Dave and I were trying to reconstruct it, and I'm sorry to say that I don't have the list with me. But we will put it out on the email, on the listserv, and let everybody know. I believe there were five requests. One of them was the salary request, which has not been forthcoming, but now will be. And the two others we mentioned.
Yeah. May I continue? Sorry, with one more comment. I'm wondering, tomorrow in the discussion on what to do with the communications policy that's been entering until now, could I ask at this point whether the committee has a view on how well that's worked, or should we wait till tomorrow?
Let's wait.
Okay.
William?
Just, I don't know if this is appropriate. I think it is, though, as far as the report that was just given for coordinating committee. I really think that the coordinating committee really needs to look at how to move correspondence from email to paper. I lost a month worth of email, so I've lost a month worth of communication for this body because my computer crashed. And I think that that's a serious concern, that there's documents being passed by email and we're expecting our email programs to keep up with them. That if it's a document that's being expected to be moved by this body, if it's something that requires a vote, that I receive it in the mail as a paper document, it's standard protocol for any organization, especially nonprofits in California. I'm a fan of them. I grew up in California. I've been on a lot of boards. And anything that I've ever voted on has been received in my mailbox via postal mail, or it's been carried to me by hand, not by electronic mail.
Okay. Well, is there anybody else who needs to have it by mail?
Yes.
So, William?
Mark?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The hands are for just mail? Just so I can see.
Does that include fax?
That includes fax. Mm-hmm. That's a hard copy.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to do it. So it's going to be a burden to, or a task for somebody, not a burden. But it's going to be a task for somebody. So I just want to make sure people who really want to receive these hard copies are the ones that we do that. And everybody else, if we're happy with email, then I think that's far preferable. I mean, I realize there are problems with it.
We haven't,
and the documents themselves... are a different story from the minutes, et cetera, et cetera. So, William, Sam, is there anybody else who needs to? Kalonji and Gerald. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have a stag over here. Next is Miguel.
I just following on what Carol Spooners was saying in terms of that she didn't feel comfortable with putting out some information there. Just a clarification, is we're talking about to those minutes for the board. It's not like for the
public. No, I'm talking about documents.
Document, but that's for the board that you're talking about.
Yes,
to let us know. So, and my question is, I mean, I think that, can we see those documents? I mean, it's...
Yeah, mail them to you or email them to you.
Okay.
Mark.
Yes, Marty, I just had a question in terms of the request that you've received. As I recall, the coordinating committee also, if there's an LSB dispute between the GM and the chair, that they also could appeal for coordination. Have you had any requests of that nature?
I don't believe we have.
Okay, thank you.
Dave?
Just to comment on what Miguel just said, some of the document requests request that all directors get the documents. Others of them don't necessarily. I think to date everyone has asked that everybody get it, but there could be occasions when an individual director is asking for themselves.
Alice?
I just wanted to say, thinking, you know, if I had to receive all the many things by mail, because I think part of the issue is many of the emails have to do with developing motions or, you know, approaches to things. And I don't know what the answer is, but people will miss out if they're not mailed every... Yeah, well, perhaps, but... By mail, if everything were sent, I just fear for the cost of it all because, as you know, William, it's a huge amount of material.
Gerald?
Yeah, I was just going to say for myself. Excuse me. I was just going to say for myself, it's fine if you send it to Pacifica, you know, and I just go and pick it up. You know, I don't have to, it doesn't have to be mailed to me personally. But I would like to. And I'm not talking about, you know, when people are discussing a motion. I mean, but the motion itself.
We have three people more on the stack, and I would like to close it over there to come to any sort of resolution. Roger?
We're talking about mailing documents that have been supplied after they've been requested. Is that correct?
I'm talking about mailing documents that require a vote. I'm talking about mailing documents that require that they're seen by the Pacifica National Board. I'm not talking about emails that say, you know, I think we really need to start a movement against this. I'm talking about things that come to a vote here at this body. And also any documents that are required, like the documents around unanimous consent. That type of stuff should be mailed as well as
that. The unanimous consent documents are always mailed.
Right, but I'm saying that that's the type of stuff I'm talking about, is stuff that's required as us being directors of this organization. If it's something that is important enough that all of us need to see.
Can you give has there been any of these documents so far that. Can you give an. I'm asking this as secretary, so I hope you bear with me for a moment, because I'm the person who's going to have to. Be responsible for making sure. So, for example, give me an example of a document besides unanimous consent that you needed to vote on that's happened so far.
Well, as far as the document trail that happened around stuff around 428, I think that things, there was the special meeting in April. I think that documents were emailed and they were mailed out, if I'm not mistaken, after everything had taken
place.
Okay,
we're talking about the proposals that people were going to vote on during the meeting.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm almost done, Henry. I think it would be, you know, a lot more practical to actually, it's a middle ground is to post them on the web and then and make phone calls to say, go here and here's the document so you won't have to hunt through your email and or you won't get lost in your email, but everybody can get it and it could be in a more timely manner. And more reliable, and it could be like a password-protected area on the Pacifica.org or something like this. Anyhow, that would be a lot easier and more practical and cheaper for the secretary and for Pacific Island. Well, we can discuss at the coordinating committee.
If everything can be done like that, then, I mean, that's amenable if it's on a website. But my issue is that I don't know the difference between a Roger Manning email, and I'm just citing you, I'm not saying that this is always Roger emails, but like a Roger Manning email that's official business and a Roger Manning email that's, you know, this is discussion I have regarding an item. And that's what gets to be frustrating, because it's 600 emails regardless, and there's no special flag on an email that says this is a PMB document and this is PMB discourse. And I'm not trying to say that I'm trying to take myself out of that discussion, but there's things that I'm required to do as a board member, and then there's the other stuff. And I'd like to be on top of what I'm required to do rather than be feeling burdened about everything in regards to this body, and that's what it feels like right now.
I'm going to suggest make a suggestion before going through the stack. We have three more person over here that send this to the committee, so that the committee can find the best way to guarantee that all the directors are going to receive what it is important for the directors to peruse through, and that way we're going to settle this thing. Is there any second?
I second.
You second. Okay.
Coordinating committee would be the committee, I believe.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. Send it to the coordinating committee. Are there any objections? Seeing none, we settle this one and we go to the next one. So just be noted that
just a point.
Send to the coordinating committee to find the best way.
Machine crash.
Okay.
Just a quick point of order.
Point of order.
Over here.
Okay.
Just so that you're not seen as oppressive, just if you could entertain motions as the chair, rather than making motions.
Okay.
Like, I would have entertained that. I would have totally moved what you entertained. So just
thank
in
you
the
very
future.
Much. Thank you. Yes, hello.
I want to know from other members of the board who are on the coordinating committee or not, whether or not your LSB chair and committee chairs have been informed of the procedure that we adopted for documents requests. Because at the coordinating committee, I do not believe, if my recollection is correct, we did not receive a copy of any documents request made by any LSB for anything. I may be wrong, but I don't believe we received any. And the policy says that we are supposed to get copies of those documents requests so that we can gather data about how many and what kinds of documents requests are being made. The purpose of that was information gathering from the board so that we could assess whether this task is overly burdensome. We would have some information. And we didn't get any information. We did not get copies of any documents requests from any LSB. I hardly can believe there weren't any. So are your LSBs informed?
Maud.
Carol, I will inform them. I don't know if they all are, but I will let them know about whatever policy we come out of here with at the end of this meeting, because it may change. So.
Okay. Solani and I'll. Oh my goodness, we have.
Just 30 seconds.
I would like to ask all the people that are asking to be recognized if this is this referred to the committee or. Yes.
Refers to what Carol just said.
Okay, Solani.
Well, first of all, I think it should be the responsibility of the directors, ourselves, to inform our LSBs of policies that are adopted at our meetings. And in fact, one of our committees at the KPFK level will be presenting a document request today that the committee will probably have to deal with. So, we'll try to provide copies.
I just want to say that, go in that direction. The day that we had the meeting, Alice, Sheila, and I show up late in the local station board meeting because we had the local station board meeting also. And we explained, I explained why I was late and explained what happened in that meeting. So I don't know if that is considered official, but maybe we can get some written document about that, exactly what happened. But we informed the local station board, you know, about the right now. All we didn't give all the details. We don't have the written notion on my hand, but the basic of what happened in the meeting and the fact that we create a policy in how to communicate and get documents on Pacifica.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Alice?
Just to follow up on what Miguel just said, when Miguel and I came from the Pacifica meeting late into our LSB board meeting, I gave the details more or less. And in fact, I gave the details of the policy.
I have one suggestion. I mean, is there any suggestion to let the coordinating committee to figure out the best way to guarantee that all LSB members are going to be informed of what the documents and decisions are taken on the coordinating committee? Can anyone propose something like that?
I just want to clarify. Her request was whether the LSBs not had seen everything that the coordinating committee is doing, but had seen the communications policy. And I believe it was transmitted to all of them. It was certainly transmitted to ours. And I can just raise my hand. Anybody whose LSB did not receive the document, the policy in writing, just raise your hand. Did anybody on any LS not see this go to their LSB?
The communication policy.
I can't.
The policy.
Okay, Henry, I'm sure secretary, I can tell you right now.
Okay, Roger.
As secretary, what I've explained this yesterday to some people that I've been using, I've been communicating through the five areas via the secretaries of the local station boards. Any policy, anything that anybody's ever done, I have sent officially to the secretaries to disseminate in their area, including this policy was sent to the secretaries at least once, if not twice, and follow up results and such things. Anything has gone that route.
I have two more people in the stack, and I'm going to close it over there to find some way to expedite this. Roy and then William. Roy.
Ray.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Okay, I've been called with things. Technically, there's a, even though I have not participated in the executive coordinating committee meetings thus far, it seems to me this is the structure that we should use. Each area has a director that's responsible for transmitting messages, and that should be their ability to inform. I'm not saying that Roger's work would be eliminated. As a secretary, he informs every person, but that individual in charge of the area would make sure that people are informed and give details if necessary.
They're called the secretary, right?
Yeah, the secretary of each committee. William?
I didn't mean that. Oh, I mean the coordinating committee as a director for each area responsible for that process. And I'm saying that individual should be the person in charge of ensuring it.
Mm-hmm. William?
I think the chair and the, did you say the chair and the secretary? Because that's what I was going to say. Is the chair and the secretary of each committee should be responsible for coming up with a memo, I think, so that it doesn't always fall on Roger. And once the committee comes up with that memo, that's something that Roger can disseminate. And it's also something that shouldn't just go to the secretaries of each board, but it should probably go to the general manager of each station. And I don't know if that should fall on the secretary or if that should fall on the secretaries of each station. But I think that helps there be more transparency so that management's on the same page as us.
Okay. I believe that there is no need to keep on going with this. We already find out that the chair and the secretary are going to find the best way to inform not only the members of the PMB, but to pass the information to the chairs of the LSB so that it can be a good flow of communication. Okay, we close this one and we go to the next one, election committee report submitted by Caroline Burton, chair. Okay. Who's going to present the election committee report?
Caroline, I will give that report, Kalonji.
Okay. You have the...
We had three, as we know, we had three members of each station meet and review the details from the various stations, and we met for 2 days by telephone and came up with the following suggestions and recommendations. The resolutions that, let me just read from our final draft. Resolved that the Board of Directors adopts the following policies governing the conduct of Pacifica delegate elections. 1. That the National Election Supervisor shall have full independent authority to supervise all aspects of the elections and to direct national and station management staff as necessary, as well as the local election supervisors, to ensure that fair elections are conducted in compliance with the requirements of the bylaws. How do we want to, do we want to go through all the resolves and have the board?
We would like to take one at a time.
One at a time?
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yes?
If I may.
Carol?
The Elections Committee wanted to present this as a package and ask the board to adopt it in total. So I'd like to go through it.
Okay.
That way we can limit the debate to anything that is controversial and not have to debate everything.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I agree because there are 15 of them.
Okay.
And if we go through one by one, you know, we have a tendency to, there are 15 points to this resolution. Please, let's not break them up.
I have a point of information. Can you refer us where in this package is that?
It should be in the red.
It's in
everyone
the red.
Has the red package.
Okay.
It's the
second page.
Well, they're 12.
It's the second page after the table of contents.
The second page.
First page after the table of contents.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you Thank you very much. Okay, if there is no objection, we're going to go on the whole package, and if there is any...
Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I think that... we can ask, you can ask the membership if they have any objection to it, and if they have any objection to this passing at it one package, then that exception should be discussed and taken into consideration.
Point of order, please.
Carl?
If I may, this is a committee report. The committee member is presenting the report. Is in the form of 12 resolutions. Once the resolutions have been read, then and the recommendation of the committee has been heard to just adopt it as a package, then there can be motions to separate or divide the question. But I'd like, if we could, just hear the grand total here, because it's a package. I would appreciate the indulgence of the board.
I will call to the directors to let's go forward and listen to the whole package. And after that one, we can open to discussion if there's any.
And Kalanji has the floor. He hasn't committed.
Okay.
Finished.
Kalanji.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Number two.
Can you start again?
Sure thing. No problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Because it took quite a bit of time and energy to, for us to come to these resolutions and recommendations, and I appreciate being able to give it all. Number one, that the National Election Supervisor shall have full independent authority to supervise all aspects of the elections and to direct national and station management and staff as necessary, as well as the local election supervisors, to ensure that fair elections are conducted in compliance with the requirements of the bylaws. Number two, that the National Election Supervisor shall designate a secure independent audit procedure to verify member database accuracy in compliance with the bylaws, and shall supervise the updating of the subscribers and donors lists, as well as the paid and unpaid staff lists at each station to ensure that the membership roles meet the requirements of the bylaws. The local election supervisors and local station management and staff shall work under the direction of the National Election Supervisor to ensure that the membership lists are as accurate and current as possible. Number three, that we request of each station that at least once a year, in any year in which there is an election, no later than July the 31st, the station include an official request for address correction on a regular mailing. Four, that the policy of the Pacifica Foundation is that any unpaid staff, bargaining unit, organization, or union that is recognized by the station management must include all volunteer, unpaid staff, who have worked at least 30 hours in the previous 3 months on the production of any radio program produced for the station. In computing unpaid staff production time, 9 hours of preparation time per person shall be computed for each hour of airtime. A paid staff employee of the station shall be the volunteer supervisor who will create and be responsible for written assignments for each volunteer, giving the date, time, and location of the work done and including the signature of the supervisor attesting to the work completed. Where programs are produced by a collective or group of persons, the collective or group must submit a roster of persons working on each program to the station manager and the unpaid staff organization, as well as to the supervisor of the volunteers. These records may be validated by the election supervisor in determining eligibility to vote as a staff member. Excuse me, I only have use of one hand easily.
Do you need assistance?
Yeah. No. Number five. The national and local election supervisors' contracts shall include a requirement that written reports be submitted to the National Board of Directors by the National Election Supervisor and each local election supervisor at the conclusion of the elections concerning the conduct of the elections, and that they ship the ballots to the Pacifica National Office for safekeeping at the conclusion of the elections. Six, that the election supervisors are directed to enforce the fair campaign provisions in a timely manner, determining sanctions within a few days of infractions. In addition, when dealing with a serious infraction that the perpetrator knew or should have known was not allowed, it is better to err on the side of strictness so as to discourage other would-be infringers. When dealing with minor or possible inadvertent infractions, it is better to err on the side of leniency. When a complaint is filed, the local election supervisor should promptly notify the candidate, investigate the facts, render a decision, and notify all concerned in writing. 7. That the national election supervisor shall notify the board of directors and the local board of the station concerned by confidential memorandum of any staff or management disciplinary decisions made, as well as any difficulties encountered concerning staff or management with regard to enforcement of the fair elections provisions. 8. That the ballots shall be mailed to the members with identifying PIN numbers printed on them as required by the bylaws, and that a secure list showing the PIN number assignment to each member shall be kept by the National Election Supervisor so that the ballots reported lost or missing can be voided or replaced. To ensure the secrecy of the ballot, ballots shall be returned in a double-blind system within a sealed, unmarked envelope, further enclosed in a return envelope marked with identifying PIN number. The list of members' PIN numbers shall be retained for a period of 1 year in a sealed container in the archives and released only to Pacifica's attorneys upon the direction of the Pacifica National Board, after which it shall be destroyed. 9. That the mailing of the ballot shall be accompanied by a request for contributions, and any contributions received from this mailing shall be allocated by the stations to help offset the cost of the elections if not otherwise covered. 10. That election booklets include voluntarily provided information about the ethnic, racial, gender identity, sexual orientation, and disability status of the candidates. 11. That the final ballot database of the last elections and all future elections be made available to the public for inspection and analysis. 12. That the local and national election supervisors shall develop policies in consultation with the executive director and station managers for approval by the national board at the September board meeting, setting forth detailed expectations of staff and management behavior with regard to the elections, and setting forth disciplinary procedures that may be utilized by the election supervisors to enforce the fair campaign provisions of the bylaws. This policy shall require staff and management to maintain a hands-off attitude towards the listener elections, including not mentioning the names of any candidates or slates of candidates, except in a neutral manner as part of an election supervisor-approved candidate program, and shall also prohibit any listener candidate from appearing or being mentioned on the air on any program at any station where he or she is a candidate following the close of nominations, except as part of an election supervisor approved candidate program.
Move adoption.
Second the motion.
One information.
One moment, please. No. I would like to first see if there are any questions. No?
One information.
Point of information.
The motion was made and seconded.
One.
Open the debate. Okay. The motion has been seconded.
Henry?
One okay. Information.
I seconded.
You seconded. Okay, now.
Who made the motion?
Who made the motion? Carol?
Ambrose.
Ambrose? Okay. So we open the debate then. Okay?
Henry, could I say something?
It's a point of information?
Yes.
Well, just to comment on the
okay.
on the resolutions. The elections that were held last year, earlier this year at Pacifica, were extraordinary. They were the equivalent of a big city election. We had 100,000 members, 320 candidates for 120 different seats. We had 16,000 people voting. It was an enormous mobilization by the entire network, especially by the general managers, program directors, development directors, traffic coordinators, executive director. You know, I remember one Sunday night up until 2 a.m, you know, proofing the election booklets, and of course hundreds and hundreds and if not thousands of other people around the network. It obviously, from the staff resource perspective, took up enormous time and effort, really an extraordinary effort, and remarkable in many ways. The new proposals, and we haven't actually even done an internal assessment on the staff side of the implications of running these elections and how we might do it better, apart from the reports that you've all seen from the former national election supervisors and others, and obviously there's changes being made. This is the first time I've heard of these proposals. I'm quite they're very extensive, and they contain a lot of implications. For instance, let me give you an example. Some of them are obviously doable. Membership information system, daunting task. Not simple. We have a proprietary software system built for a public radio station that doesn't have a membership, an election system built in. So even, for instance, to change, as we all know, the husband and wife, let me just finish, there's a lot of implications, just to change the husband and wife, separate them out in the database is very difficult. So to change the database is $1 million in the system. The resolution to give disciplinary authority to the National Election Supervisor, problem. We have trade union contracts, we have discipline policies, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot in here that we ought to be very, very careful about. Love the opportunity to meet with the staff on this, to meet with the Administrative Council, to review these recommendations, maybe put them on a fast track, and come back to the board with some of our issues and concerns or alternatives on them. But a little fearful to hear about the broad and sweeping proposals here, even though many of them
thank you very much,
have real problems.
Thank you very much. I'm going to open the debate. I encourage all of you. You are very articulate on your speeches, but I would like you to be brief and concise. Go to the point. If there is any issue that you would like to make a remark on, please be concise. Do not make aces on this one. Okay? We're going to start with SARF.
The stack as it sits right now is Sarv, Sonali, Alice, Dave, Miguel, Carol, Roger, Donna, and Mark. Oh, I'm sorry, Vicky. Sorry.
It's okay. Not on. And William.
And Ray. Very nice. Okay. As long as I show this sign, please finish it. Thank you. We start with Sar.
Mr. Chairman, in my packet, I have these four pages here of where it says resolved, resolution and recommendations. And I would have somebody to explain to me what's the difference between the first, second page and the third, fourth page. They're both resolutions, and I don't know what the... in your package, if you look, I have first four pages. And
well, may I point
which,
out
which,
right.
which
yes.
Mr. Yes. Chair
Colangelo, would you please answer?
Sure. The first four pages you see are the revised edition. What we did was include some of our previous work so that everyone can get a feel for what how we came to the revised one.
This page two is not revised, right? Page one.
Could I answer the question? We did break up the work of the committee into a policy that we would like the board to adopt. And those were the 12 resolutions that Kalanji just read. Beneath them is a set of recommendations that are not included in the policy. That has not been read to you. In the interests of time, I don't know what Kalanji's thoughts are about addressing them. I think they're simply for the information of the board.
So are going to disregard the second.
No, you're not
page.
Going to disregard them. You're going to read them when you have time.
Well, yes, but for this matter, we are only going to focus on the first two pages, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We keep going, Somali.
We're voting on the first two pages, okay? Which
yes.
are our we're asking the board to adopt. The second two pages, page three and four, okay, are recommendations, you know, concerning the conduct of the delegate elections. Now that we can work on.
What are these page three and four?
Three and four is resolved that the board of directors makes the following recommendations concerning the conduct of the delegate. They're separate.
And page one and two are policy?
Yeah.
So what we are discussing right now are the first two pages.
First two pages.
Okay, and we let finish with those two. Okay.
That's what we're voting on.
That's what we're voting on. Now. Okay, we have a list over here. So, did you finish?
Yeah. That's
okay. Solani.
Yeah, I really appreciate the intent behind the recommendations, but as a staff member at the station, a paid staff member, it was an enormous task to carry out these elections, and it placed a huge drain, a huge burden on the staff. Just as an example, our subscriptions department has gone, you know, more behind in mailing out thank you gifts because they were busy putting together the database for listener members who are eligible to vote. This impacts our ability to fundraise because donors are unhappy that they haven't received their thank you gifts on time. I would like to ask the committee whether any thought has been put into budgeting an extra paid temporary worker, or even actually since we'll have these elections, 2 years on and 1 year off, perhaps even someone that has a two-year contract at each station to deal with all of these issues and to be that person that that takes charge of implementing them, because otherwise it puts really too much burden on already understaffed stations. And that financial impact has many repercussions, not only in terms of the workload, but also in terms of how it adds up over various fund drives.
Okay, thank you. Alice?
Yeah. Thanks. I think when I read these suggestions, these policies over the other day, I was very impressed with the tone of them and the detail. I would like to suggest that the committee, in coordination with the executive director and perhaps the finance committee, we need to have budgets on this so that we can find out exact estimates of how much each part will cost. I think these things are very worthy. Such things as the computer issues of transfer of technology, I believe that we should try to do that in coordination with major volunteers from a place like Carnegie Mellon University. There are many, many computer programmers at very high levels that have the time and income to donate free time. So if the computer technology is indeed $1 million, We can, if we're smart, we can do that on with no money whatsoever. But I believe every part of a proposal that comes before the board should have money attached to it. I think these are very worthy. I think the next step is to find out estimates of what they cost. I would like to suggest perhaps there's a way we could vote in these things pending pending financial approval, if someone has a thought about how that could be done in a motion.
Dave?
Several things. Yeah, I was really impressed with it as well. The one on point four, it specifies people who have worked on production or radio program, but, for example, if you were an elections volunteer or if you were in subscriptions, there are a lot of other volunteers around the station. They should be included. It's not exclusive of other types of volunteers, but it would be nice to separate that and put it down and say for volunteers who work in production of radio program, their contribution will be calculated as follows. I had a couple of other questions. Is there, by when, I don't know enough about it, would we need to act on these recommendations for them to be able to take effect? And if there are things that don't need a budget, you know, should we deal with those right now? If we delay this till the fall meeting, is it still time? Or if we had a special meeting to consider it after it's gone through a budget evaluation, would that be enough time? A couple other quick things. The issue of write-ins. Do we allow write-in candidates? Because there's a prohibition against people appearing on the air who are running. But, of course, if you were going to run a write-in candidacy, you could be on the air up to the end. So that was just a quick question. The last thing is that how many staff are on the Elections Review Committee that would be there putting forth the kinds of things that Sonali mentioned? And would it be a good idea to plan in future Elections Committee meetings that you ask that management or some representative of the executive director or CFO maybe be there to put those things in during the process?
Miguel.
Let me start with Dan Coughlin was talking about taking disciplinary action and the labor or the union's contract in terms of how that will, what will be the procedures in the case that there's a procedures when some related to the people job and how to take, by the manager to take some kind of disciplinary action. I think that we should have take a look into that. But at the same time, I think this basically relating to the election, which basically has nothing to do with the staff doing the work with the session, maybe some producers doing the show.
Yeah, there's a number of issues on that, but first of all,
let me just finish my talk. And the other thing that I would like to call the attention is I think that we have an opportunity, or we have to fix what happened in the last election. I know it's like a big, like hundreds of thousands of people voting, but at the same time, we got no choice. We need to improve this, and we got the time to improve it. In the last election, we spent our time basically dealing with the bylaw, and there was not that much work and planning to really have a very organized election. I think that was very, I don't know what progressive mean, but I used that, and I thought it was good. We can do better, and we have to do better, because there was a lot of problem. We got the time. It's a matter of planning, and I know that people concerned about the money. For the case of WBAI, we raised $18,000 for this election. We spent less than that money in that election. So that, and there is also another thing that I want to call the attention, where Salani was mentioned in 10 of the allocating money from some of the work. Well, it's true. But there is something that I think on the next page that we're talking about asking for contribution and whatever money is needed to put it into the cost of the election, and that could be hiring people that we need to work for the election.
Thank you very much. Vicky.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone who was involved in putting this together. From someone who was not directly involved with the election process as an affiliate, this represents a huge amount of work, and the analysis that was done should stand this body in good stead to move this process forward and continue to improve it. This is not a one-time improvement. We're going to have to continue to look at this and continue to tweak it until it's operating properly. And I just think the overall outcome was fabulous. I have a concern about number 9 that Miguel was just talking about, accompanying the mailing with a request for contributions, and how to ensure that that doesn't come off in any way to discourage someone from casting a vote because they feel they can't make a contribution, that it not look like a magazine sweepstakes thing, that it be very, very carefully done so that no one feels that that contribution is necessary for their vote to be counted.
Okay, Roger.
I'd also like to commend the committee's work. I'm totally amazed that they did so much by the date that the National Board pretty much requested. We needed to get this kind of work done right away because the elections process basically begins this summer. And also, when a lot of memos or information regarding the elections are made, or just maybe emails and figures are given, there's never really a breakdown. There's, it's $100,000 over, but there's no mention of the $18,000 that was raised just at WBAI with the ballots. There was a note that said, can you, if you can, please contribute some money to the elections, and that, you know, it's part of the picture. I want to make a motion that we strike item 4 for the time being. I'm a staff representative from WBAI, and I was talking to the unpaid staff union folks, and they point out some problems with this, and particularly where
second.
It said that the bargaining unit shall include these people and those people, and that's perfectly reasonable, but we have to talk to the bargaining unit. We can't just say that the bargaining unit will do this or do that without speaking to them. And there's some other items in there. In other words, I would like to send it back to committee in essence. So I move that that we strike that item 4 for now.
Item 4?
Yes.
Move to strike the entire thing? The whole thing?
Item number 4.
No, just
in the interest of time, it would take us too long to refine it right here at this meeting. So
I'll second the motion to strike item 4.
I'm already dead.
Seconded. Okay. The,
is there discussion on this?
There is a
maybe discussion? We can ask if there is any objection.
Okay. Is there any discussion in this motion? No, there's no motion.
Is there any objection?
Any objection?
I object to that, yeah.
You object to this?
Yes, I think that, look, so the situation of the list.
Okay, you are objecting, so
yes, I am. I would like to
start the discussion on the motion.
Okay, so I'd like to put my name.
We're going to start. Okay, yeah. Start with Miguel. And then Vicky.
During the last or the first and last election for the local station board, some of us was really frustrated, and one of the things that I find out were how disorganized our radio station was in terms of the membership list. It was really a nightmare. I tried to put some of the Latino candidates to run. One of them has, just to mention, not specific to this staff person, but the situation, how crazy it was, that if somebody with a receipt, with a premium, with all the approve that I'm a member of this radio station, and that person couldn't run for that position. It's a nightmare. It creates problem because you got upset and the other person got upset, and the next thing is that we're having a really crazy argument with no reason. But it's just that I think that the list should be there and should be better organized. We would like to see all of those names, or at least those names should be included there, and that's where we save time, money, and friction amongst comrades, I should use that word, that isn't necessary. I think as more clarity we have, and more We are organized and providing lists, who's going to vote, who is the person, where, you know. I think we can have a better and more democratic election. So I would suggest that we really keep, specifically the problem with the list, that every motion that we have in reference to that, believe me that there is a kind of a logic behind those motions, which is there was a problem, and we think we should fix the problem that way.
Thank you. I would like, if I can, to limit the debate to the slide that we already have on this motion to strike that has been objected, so that those that are already in the strike are already, oh, wow, dos, cuatro, seis, ocho. 10 persons are already in the strike just for this objection. So
I would suggest that you take pros and cons that we're not.
Yes, uh-huh. Okay. So that was someone in pro. Vicky, are you pro? No, okay.
Pro the strike.
I'm a con striking, against striking. Shall I speak?
Yes.
Okay. I suggest an amendment to Roger's amendment. I believe we can make two amendments, right? An amendment.
Yes.
His was an amendment. That instead of striking this, we approve it provisionally, conditionally upon the agreement of the unpaid bargaining unit he mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are there any objections?
Point of order, isn't there an amendment on the floor?
Yes, there was one. Motion to strike was the first one, and then it came an objection, and now Alice is presenting.
Apparently this is a substitute amendment. Is that okay
that
to do or not?
It's one amendment. We did the amendment that we have to solve.
Well, I second that.
I
second Alice.
That amendment. You second. Okay.
Yeah.
So can Alice state her amendment? Because I didn't hear her amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I suggest that we don't strike number 4, but approve it conditionally dependent upon the approval of the collective bargaining unit, the unpaid staff unit that Roger mentioned. In other words, that we vote to approve it, but there would be a rider attached to that, that it must be then approved by that collective bargaining unit.
I'll second that.
Yes.
I think there's some confusion. Excuse me. I'm afraid we have some confusion. You see, Carol said, I think she said we should strike this. Well, looking at this, see, in Berkeley, in every station, unfortunately, we have a different bargaining unit. So in Berkeley, there is no bargaining unit.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is.
For the unpaid staff.
Yes, there is.
But in Los Angeles, there is.
Okay, let's hold it right there. Let's hold it right
All
there.
All right.
We have one motion that has been expressed by Alice. She's going to put it in writing so that we can express it well. Yes. Has anyone have any questions about that particular motion?
Isn't it up for discussion?
Yes,
it is for the class.
I don't have a question.
So you want to be in the stack for that particular motion. Okay, we're going to limit this for 2 pros and 2 cons for that particular amendment of the motion, okay? So, who are, William?
I'll wait.
You're a pro?
You
can, okay.
We need a pro.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I have first I'm on the original stack, and then Roger introduces an amendment, and now the stack is thrown out, and now we're on his amendment, then Alice enters one, and now we've got a new stack, and I never got to talk about the main motion at all, so I'm getting bumped with these amendments, so
that's
I'd appreciate it if we could.
We are doing this way. We are having little squares that are being built within the square, so we are right now in this little square, so we are taking a stack for that one.
Point of order.
Okay.
Make a point of order?
Yes.
This is why it isn't proper for the chair to take a stack. It's actually not proper to take a stack. The chair must just recognize someone and then recognize someone when that person gives up the floor.
We are having over here, we are recognizing the persons that are being asked to have the floor. So it's not a stack. We are recognizing those that have asked to be recognized and in order. If that's not a stack, okay, it's not. But that's the way that we are.
Not proper.
Thank you. Proceeding. Okay, Dave.
I mean, I guess my feeling about all of this is that given that staff member on the board has expressed that they have problems with some of the impacts on the station and they're wondering if they've been considered, and the ED has said several things, whether or not we think this is a good idea, if the board is passing things that puts a lot of burden on the staff without having gone through that consultation process, I'm concerned. Yet there is a time problem here because we need to do this, and I guess what I'd like to do is ask that we have a special meeting in a week or two by telephone after this has had a chance to be considered in consultation with
germane to the motion.
I believe it's quite germane to the motion, because if so, you wouldn't strike, you wouldn't change, you wouldn't do anything.
Okay.
I'm raising that as a point. I'm not making it as a motion yet until I hear from the people who did the work, which is a tremendous amount of work on this.
Mark?
Okay, I'm going to... My comments are to the amendments and also to the main one. With respect to number four, I also think that we should strike it, because I do think it's too unclear with respect to volunteers. And by volunteers, I don't mean volunteers on the air or associated with the program. We also have people who answer the phones. And according to our bylaws, they are eligible. And one of the big problems that I experienced in the election were volunteers, those individuals who answered the phones, who put in their 3 hours, not receiving any kind of a ballot. And their status here is unclear. So I think we could strike it, and also for the reasons of staff. My other concern relates to the financing again, because just the membership data, database accuracy issue is tremendous. The fiscal year 05 budget, as best I can tell, has budgeted $120,000 for the entire year for the elections, and we will have spent that before we get to item 5.
Yes.
So I'm concerned about how we intend to pay for some of these very important, and I think we need to deal with that. On the other hand, I respect what the committee has done here, but I'm a little concerned about the money. And then finally, on recommendations regarding the number one recommendation is the issue of waivers. And again, a lot of these things are in the bylaws already but are not being enforced. Waivers was one, and I don't want to see it pushed into some recommended. It's already in the bylaws. Let's work on ways to enforce procedures that are already stipulated, like the PIN system, in the bylaws. Thank you.
Teresa?
She's not here.
Just point of order, people need to be speaking to the amendment. And I'd love to make comments like that, but we're speaking to this amendment that's on the floor, or the substitute motion.
Thank you. Maury?
I move to lay the question on the table. And the reason is we there are a lot of financial implications here. There has been a lot of hard work that has gone into this. I realize there are time constraints. I do think it needs to be run through the staff people at the individual stations. And I'm afraid that we don't really have time today to deal with all the ramifications of this. We need to explore it more fully. And so I move to lay the question on the table, the entire question on the table, and deal with it in a special meeting, phone meeting, in a couple of weeks. I do realize the time constraints, and I think those are important.
There has been a motion to lay the this on
The entire motion, and there has been a second. Okay, now we vote.
Then we go and vote on the motion to lay it on the table.
I guess there's no discussion.
No discussion.
There's no discussion. Okay, we're going to go and vote for laying the motion on the table. Please raise your hand.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Chair, could you lay on the table for 2 weeks until we can have a special meeting?
That is correct.
Laying on the table means it never comes back.
No, I lay it on the table until 2 weeks when we can have a special meeting.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I have a point of clarification.
Okay.
I want to know, are you talking about the special meeting for the whole PMB?
Yes.
Okay. Because I think it should go back to committee.
Well, it has been presented. The motion has been seconded, so we need to vote. Okay. All those in favor to laying the motion on the on the table for a couple of weeks, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. All those opposing, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The motion passes.